Good morning, lifers. Good to see you. Good to have some actual response as we got people in the sanctuary and folks outside today. Before I get into teaching, I want to just thank everyone who just loved on myself and our family as a result of my father's passing. And just we were overwhelmed with the cards, the letters, the flowers, the food. And then yesterday's service was just wonderful as this sanctuary and outside was just full of people. Loving us. And so I really want to thank you. My daughter posted something this morning. I wanted to show you. I think you'd get a kick out of it if you'd flash that on the screen. This was in Dad's Bible. And I'm not sure if this was a prayer list or if this was the list he would keep to know people's names of those that sat around him. But as I look down that list, it's just fascinating to me. And it's kind of comical to me how he kind of heard people's names. We see Arthur and Oreo. Sorry, Arthur and Aria, but that's the way he heard it. Then, you know, of course, Lynn, and teacher from Minnesota. And we love Lynn. And I like the bottom one, all the old members. The Malls, the Yamas, and Rosemary, and the Coxes, and so on. But there's a lot of names on there. Some of you may see your names. And I just thought that was a special thing that he would write those down and he would remember you. So thank you for just all of your kindness and your goodness to us. I want to just take a moment before I teach, just a brief moment to bring you some encouragement. And I'm speaking to mainly those who are listening online today. The past year and a month since that's a year and almost 2 months now, since the whole corona thing started, it started out kind of, you know, like a novelty, but then as time went by, it really began to settle into our spirits, and I felt it. I'm actually still feeling it. This kind of it's not lazy, it's just this kind of a separate kind of just lower energy type thing. So that even when I'm out and about amongst people, I find that I'm getting exhausted quicker. Just by the interaction with people. And this whole separation and being home a lot, being isolated a lot, being away from the hustle and bustle a lot, I think has created just kind of a detrimental thing inside of our emotions and in our makeup. And I've just definitely felt it. It is comfortable just to stay home. And just like, I don't want to go out. I'm just tired. I don't want to go out in there. I don't want to just deal with anything. I just want to stay put. And being in that separate mode can just do that to us. Now, I think that before Corona, we were way too busy. Just the hectic pace was crazy. But now maybe a lot of us have swung to the other side to that slow pace and not having really productiveness has gotten, you know, too far that way. And we need to come to the middle. So I'm just letting you know, church, that it's time. It's time. Let's re-engage. Now, I know we don't have children's ministries intact yet. We're working on that. And we're looking in the next few weeks to have kids' ministries available. Because I know a lot of you want to come, but there's no place to take your kids. So we're really working on that to make sure it's safe, that the areas are pure, that everything is, you know, cleansed and so on. So we're working hard on that. But otherwise, we've got outside for those that don't feel quite as safe. For those that feel a little more safe, you can be inside. And it's time for us to get back together. So I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Let's get going. And let's reengage. The world needs the church to be vital. Amen? Amen. The world needs that. And we are that. So let's do it. All right, let me get into teaching this morning. So I look at my watch. We started a little bit late, and so I need to kind of hustle and move today. What would Jesus say to a spiritual seeker is today's teaching. This whole series, I really appreciate Pastor Glenn for taking the 3 weeks prior while Sandra and I were on vacation, and then last week as we were going through, you know, a lot of stuff with my dad. What would Jesus do is the title of this series. Now, there's a reason we're doing this, and that is that we've spent the first quarter talking about cultivate, plant, water, harvest. And we spent 3 months just really, really pressing that into us. Well, there comes a time when we need to ask ourselves, well, what does that really look like? What does it look like in day-to-day life, in various circumstances and situations? So we need to look to the Master. How did Jesus do it? How did Jesus cultivate, plant, water, and harvest? Then that's what we should do. So that's what this series is about. And it will go into, about Father's Day. And then we're going to shift into the book of Romans and get the theology of cultivate, plant, water, harvest. And find the real biblical meat of why we do what we do. Okay? So today, what would Jesus do if he were cultivating, planting, watering, and harvesting with a person who was a spiritual seeker? Someone who had questions. Someone who really wanted to know. And I'm not talking about a debate with someone who was resistant, or a, you know, an argument about theology or whatever to someone who was just wanting to be argumentative. I'm talking about someone who genuinely wanted to know. But they didn't know. They were confused and they had questions. That's where we're spending our time today. How would Jesus respond to that kind of person? And we turn to John chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 to 21. And I'm going to read all that context. Because in this great, great passage of John chapter 3, we land on John 3:16, and that becomes the verse. That's the big bomb that everybody knows, but it's in a context that's really, really important to hear so that we get why Jesus said those words. So let's read together. I'll read to you. Follow along with me. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 21. And it reads this way. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling class, a ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Unless a person is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Father, in Jesus' name, as Nicodemus' heart was enlightened when you spoke this, so let our hearts be enlightened too, and let us learn how you would deal with spiritual seekers so that we can do likewise. In Jesus' name, amen. Nicodemus was a true seeker, a Pharisee, a part of the Jewish ruling class, a religious leader, and the religious leaders were also the civic leaders. And Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, giving us some understanding that he probably was a bit nervous of being seen talking to Jesus, because Jesus and the ruling class did not mix well. So he comes to Jesus and he has a question, but it's kind of veiled in I want you to think that I know more than I know. you know, well, we know you're from God because, you know, no one could do the things that you are doing except if they came from God. And Jesus, of course, sees through it, and he answers the question in weird ways like he always does, getting to a deeper place than just dealing with the surface question. And he says, unless a man is born again, and when he does that, Nicodemus' mind goes, pew! And he goes, what are you talking about? I don't even get all this. And we'll kind of bounce in and around as he deals with these questions. You see, Nicodemus really, really wanted to know. There are people in our world today, church, that really, really want to know about spiritual things. Not everybody is ready to cancel you if you proclaim Jesus. Not everybody is willing to stamp you as some kind of nutcase because you believe in supernatural things. There are those who really do want to know. But Nicodemus, like so many others, ran head on into a problem. I want to change, but I cannot change myself. There is something going on, and I don't have my hands on it. I don't have my head around it, and I want it. Jesus, there's something different about you. No one could do the things you do. You're different. You must come from God, and I want to know. And Jesus begins to help him to understand what that really means. I've had this situation happen to me many, many times in my life. Being a Christian since I was a young teenager and being in circles of non-Christians, especially on sports teams, and the guys just don't always know what to do with you. They didn't always know what to do with me. And so they would not necessarily get involved in conversation in a group, but like Nicodemus, they'd come in at alone time. They'd come when it was private, when nobody else was around, and they'd say, you know, I got a question. I've been wondering. And then we'd have a conversation. And God would open the door to do really, really cool things. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to have God come into your life? What does it mean to know Him? Nicodemus wanted to press in and to find out how this was happening in the life of this Nazarene. In the conversation, Jesus masterfully helps Nicodemus come to understanding. Here's how he does it. Number one, there is more to what we see in the earthly reality, in our earthly reality. There is a spiritual realm that is more real than the physical world. Understanding and knowing God comes through the Spirit. That's what Jesus is saying in the first 8 verses. Say, Nicodemus, let me help you with this. You're saying, you know, you're different. I know you've come from God and you want to know some things. Let me just tell you, there's more than what you see. And that's what we need to do to help people, church. Now, maybe you're listening today and you need this help yourself. I hope you're cluing in because Jesus is going to help you today. But when we're helping others, we've got to help them to understand there's more than what we can see. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You must hear it, or you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So that it is with everyone born of the Spirit. There is another realm. A lot of you know that. A lot of you believe that. A lot of you have experienced that. This is not all there is. There is more. There are angels here right now. They are. I've never seen an angel, although I've had one experience where I think I did. That's a different story for a different time. But there are angels in our midst. There's a spirit realm. Now, there's probably some demons in our midst, too. But we probably chased them all out with our worship, I'm pretty sure. They hate worship. But you see, there's a spirit realm. And it exists. And it's real. When I was coaching at Cupertino High School, there was a young man, fabulous player. His name was John. And John, he was just a great kid and a great, great player. And he was a Nicodemus in my life. That we'd finish practice and we'd play and we'd do what we were doing. And then we'd, you know, walk off the field and the guys would kind of gather and do their banter. And, you know, I'd hang back a little bit. You know, you got to let the guys be the guys. And John would hang back. He said, "Coach, you're a pastor, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got some questions." And so often, I don't know, even know how many times in the 2-3 years that I coached John, he'd hang back or we'd wait in the locker room. Or there'd be just a moment and say, "You know, I got some questions." And we'd talk and begin to help him to understand, "John, there's more. There's more. See, what we see right now, this is beautiful and it's great and to play and to enjoy and all of that. It's wonderful. But John, there's more. And I think you know there's more." And we begin to talk about what that means. We begin to have conversation about how to understand that. And Jesus was doing that with Nicodemus. It says, no one can see the kingdom of God. You can't perceive it unless you're born again. And then in verse 5, he says, no one can enter the kingdom of God. You can't participate in it unless you're born again. And he says, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. And a lot of, this is kind of a controversial verse. I don't think it is so much. And a lot of the commentaries I've read disagree with me. But I'll be the lone wolf on this one because I think it just makes sense in its context. That Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus immediately shifts to human birth. He says, wait a minute. You can't go back into your mother's womb. Like, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's just not going to work. And Jesus says, no. You must be born of water and of Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. And so when he says you must be born of water, I think that he's just talking about natural birth because the context gives, to me, clear evidence that that's what Nicodemus was struggling with. He says, Nick, you're born once by mama, but there's a different birth. A birth of the Spirit that will awaken you to there's more. So that when things happen that you go, whoa, that was odd. Ooh, deja vu. Oh, that was a unique coincidence. That those who live in the Spirit go, no, not deja vu. No, not coincidence. No, not accidental. No, not even really weird. It's God. Because God is in our midst. We sang about that. He's present. He's real. He's working. He's doing. He's planning. He's God. He's in the Spirit. But he's invading this world. He's invading this life. Jesus gave the disciples a little bit of understanding about that when he showed them in John 17, the transfiguration account, where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to this mountain place. And then it's as if he took the giant zipper and he went, check this out. And Jesus and Elijah and Moses are standing on the mountaintop having a chat. What were they chatting about? I don't know. But they're just hanging out. And Peter, James, and John are going, do you see that? What is going on? And they recognize these characters. This is crazy. We got to do something. And Jesus goes, no, don't do anything. Just relax. I'm just showing you that there's more than what you know. In the Old Testament, there's a fascinating passage in Daniel chapter 10 of a very similar, not similar transfiguration, but a similar unzipping. When Daniel is praying and he's praying and he's praying and he's praying, he prayed for 3 weeks, 21 days, scripture says, till finally an angel messenger shows up and appears to Daniel and he apologizes. The angel apologizes to Daniel and says, Daniel, bro, I'm sorry. It took me 21 days. I heard you when you started. God heard you. I heard you when you started praying. We got the message, but I had to fight the prince of Persia. There were some spiritual battles going on in the spirit realm that you can't see, but it's out there and it's real and it's intense. Now, of course, God is God, Daniel, so don't worry about it. I mean, I'm here now. And when I leave you, I got to take care of some other stuff. Fascinating, right? The beginning of understanding what it means to be born again is to first realize there's more going on than what we see. There's more than this reality. And it's so cool to me to realize right now that my Father's in that. The zipper has been unzipped. And now he's enjoying this other reality going, way more than I thought. Way better than I thought. Way more real than I thought. Man, that earth, that's just the tent. This is this life right here. Church, we've got to be that and show that to others. Jesus moves on from there and says, number two, Jesus is the entryway into life in the Spirit. Believing in Jesus includes trusting Him and submitting all to Him. Nicodemus says, how can this be? You know, I'm confused. This does not make sense. And Jesus says, well, bro, you're Israel's teacher. If you don't get this, then we're really in trouble. Because if the teacher doesn't know, how are the students going to know? And it's really, Nicodemus, not that you don't know so much, as that you don't believe so much. It's saying it's about your unbelief. But it's okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you with all that. He says, listen, let me make it plain, because you know the Old Testament. You know the law. Remember that time when the nation of Israel, your ancestors, were really, really messing up bad? And God said, okay, there's going to be a punishment. And it was a crazy one. He sent snakes. Remember that? Oh, yeah, I remember that, Lord. He said, and then to escape the death by snake bite, what did they do? Well, they put the snake up on the bronze serpent up on the pole. And everyone who would look at the bronze serpent would not die from the snake bite. Do you remember that, Nick? Yeah, of course. Same thing, but it's going to happen different. The Son of Man will be lifted up. Not to free people from snake bites because of their sin, but to free people from their sinful nature. To free people from that destroying sinful nature. For Nick, God loves you. He loves you so much. He sent me, His one and only Son, that whoever believes in me, you won't die. Just like they didn't die of the snake bites. You won't die, but you'll have everlasting life. Because I came not to condemn the world, but to save you. When I talked to John, in some of those conversations, John would say, this doesn't make sense to me. I'm not quite getting this. I go, John, it's really not that hard, but let me tell you where to start. Don't start with all the questions. Don't start with all of the science. And don't start with all that. John, just start right here. Start with Jesus. Because Jesus is the entryway. And as you start to know Him, and as you begin to follow Him, and as you begin to say, you're my Lord, and then you'll start getting your eyes open. Because He's the gateway. He's the door. He's the living way. He's the veil that was torn so that you could enter. John, let's just start there. So we begin to talk more and more about Jesus. There was less about the questions John had and more about who Jesus is. You know, churches, we're walking with people. We want to talk about all the peripheral stuff and talk about all the science. And what about creation evolution? And what about this? And what about that? And what about the age of the earth? And what about, and we're missing the point. Jesus told Nicodemus really clearly, Nicodemus, let's just boil it down. Let's get where it's focused. Let's talk about me. For the Son of Man came to earth, not to condemn the world. For God so loved the world, He sent me to die for you. Everything begins and ends with Jesus when it comes to being born again. Now, number three, without Jesus, without belief in Jesus, there's nothing left except eternal separation from God. And all that is God. Verse 18, Jesus said, well, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Nicodemus, you know, you can not believe if you want, and I'm not condemning you because I don't have to condemn you. You're condemned already. You're already dying. I can't, you know, like make somebody die that's already dead. It's already like over for you. Unless you turn and believe. You see, so many people think the church is about condemnation. The church isn't about condemnation. It's just shining the light on our true character. When we're trying to do what Jesus did in helping a spiritual seeker, it's not about condemning people, but helping them realize we're condemned already. Jesus just came to rescue us. He came to give us life. John would ask me when we'd have our talks, said, Coach, what if I don't believe? What if I think this is just a bunch of nonsense, some kind of myth and religious jargon? I don't know. I said, well, John, you can choose that. You can choose that. What are you going to do when you die? I know you're a young man now, and high school students think they're going to live forever. John, I used to be like you. Now I'm older and slower and not as good as I used to be on the soccer field. And John, that's going to be you someday, and then pretty soon we're both going to die. What are you going to do then? Because see, we're in trouble already, John. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn us. He came into the world to save us. I'm just trying to throw you the lifeline. I'm trying to throw you the life preserver. Just grab a hold of it. You can swim for a little while, but you can't swim forever. There's going to come a day. That day is going to be called your last day. And what are you going to do? Believing something, John, doesn't make it true. Just like not believing in something makes it false. The fact of the matter is I have experienced Jesus. And he wants you to experience him too. You see, Christianity is not something to discuss. Christianity is something to experience. And that experience comes by faith. John, would you like to accept Jesus? John didn't accept Jesus that day. But we kept talking. Number four, what holds most people back is they don't want to admit they are evil and as far from God as they really are. Jesus said, this is the verdict. Life has come into the world. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that the deeds will be exposed. Just a short version of verses 19 to 21. Those who hated Jesus were those who just were really uncomfortable when Jesus shone the light on who they really were. See, we're condemned already. We're already a mess. We're already in trouble. Jesus isn't here to say, you loser, you filthy thing, you rotten sinner, you da da. Now look at his life. He spent time loving those people, loving all of those people. Who were the ones that got mad at him? The ones who didn't like the truth when they faced it. Those are the ones that got mad. The ones who went, yeah, Lord, you're right. I am in trouble. I am a sinner. I am a prostitute. I am a thieving tax collector. I am in trouble. God, I'm with you. I want some help. Those people got saved. Those people were born again. But others were like, who are you to tell me? Who do you think you are telling me that? And Jesus said, oh, you whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but you got death on the inside, and you will not admit it. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And the light that he shines on us, the light is not to make us feel bad about ourselves in the sense of we're just hopeless. The light is there to show us that we're in need, and we can then look to the light. So every time we do share with people, we can't just share this, oh, Jesus loves you and he'll make you better. Well, a lot of people think their life is pretty good the way it is. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, I can see you want to believe. And here's the deal. I'm here to shine the light on you. And what you do with that is up to you. The one who's willing to confess rather than hide is the one who is born again. The one who embraces the light instead of run from the light is the one who is born again. The one who comes into the kingdom and receives sonship is the one who's not afraid to say, I'm in trouble and I need him. The season ended at Cupertino. And yeah, as kids do, they go off to college. And John played soccer in college. And I'll never forget the day I got the email. Say, hey, coach, just wanted you to know. Went to college. I got involved in a Christian club. And I accepted Jesus. And it makes sense now. All that stuff you used to talk to me about, it makes sense. I get it. It was so good to hear that. Nicodemus, I think he got it too. For in John chapter 19, when Jesus died, there was a guy named Joseph, a rich man, who asked for the body of Jesus so he could bury him. But Joe had a partner. Joe's partner was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and they cared for it and they wrapped it and they bathed it with myrrh and perfumes and they put it in the tomb. So you must be born again. Nicodemus got it because he understood there was more to this life than what we can see. Not just after death, right now. We are here, standing in our... Here, he is here, standing in our midst, we sang. And that the focus is always Jesus. It always is. And there are consequences of life without Jesus. And if we find ourselves repelling that message, it's because there's a pride in the way that won't let us admit who we really are. And all it takes is some humility that says, you know, it's true. I really am a sinner. And I want to embrace the light and be saved. You can today if you don't know him yet. And if you already know him, this is what Jesus would do if he was talking to a spiritual seeker. This is how he walked someone through the message of the truth. It was loving, but it was direct. It was kind, but it was pulling no punches. And the people we love deserve to know the truth in a gentle, respectful, conversational way. And sometimes maybe they'll accept him right with you. Sometimes like John, somebody else will get a chance to do the harvesting. And that's okay. What would Jesus do? He'd tell them about himself. And he'd tell them truthfully. I hope we can do that with the people in our life. What do you think? Simple. Admit there's something more out there. Something much more than you and your experiences. Number two, be willing to take a step of humility. Acknowledging you're not perfect and you need God's grace. Number three, tell Jesus you believe in him. You don't have to have everything figured out. It's okay. I still got questions. 45 years now? 46 almost. I still got questions. It's okay. If God is small enough for me to figure him out, he's not big enough. I'm okay with the questions I have. Number four, start reading the Bible, praying, attending church gatherings in order to learn and grow. That's how you get to know him. If you want God, if you want to be born again, you can. It just takes as much as calling out to his name. Jesus offered his body like the snake up on the pole. He offered his body on the cross. And that's what we're going to share right now as we take our time of communion. See, taking this bread and this cup is not a ritual. It is a reminder of what it means to be born again. We do this every month. We could do it every Sunday. We could do it every day. And it would be appropriate. Because Jesus said, whenever you remember me. But we do it corporately once a month to start each month to remind ourselves that there's more. To remind ourselves that Jesus is the key. To remind ourselves that without him we're in trouble. And remind ourselves to take personal accounts and evaluate. To make sure we're on track. To make sure we're staying in the light. That's what the bread and the cup is all about. Jesus' body, Jesus' shed blood. So I'd like us to take just a moment of silence, silent prayer. And let's contemplate where we are. Let's evaluate and let's make sure we stay in the light. And let's just take a few moments to worship the God who gave his body and his blood. Let's do that and then we'll take together afterwards. Father, we thank you for sending your Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. We choose to live in the light because he is the light. We choose not to resist, but to submit, to surrender our lives to the light. God, so many want to run from the light because it reveals their stain. It reveals the dirt that's embarrassing. We all want to look good to everybody else. And we can look good to everybody else as long as the lights are off. But as soon as we turn on the light and reveal who we really are, we quickly understand that we're not as good as we want people to think we are. God, today we want to be people who don't care about any of that. We want to be people who say, I am who I am because of Jesus. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, and I believe in him. I believe in him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my guide. He's my purpose. He's my friend. He's my Father. I believe in him. So I will not perish, but I will have eternal life. I am not condemned, because he didn't come to condemn me. He came to save me. I believe in him. Lord, that's the people we are. And that's the people we want our friends to be, our loved ones to be. And it's because of your body and your blood. Today we remember what you did. That the serpent was put up on the pole, so you were put up on the cross to take away our sin. And your body was broken and your blood was shed so that we could come into the light. We remember you today, Lord Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's thank Jesus for being our sacrifice. Let's take the bread together. After supper, Jesus took the cup. Said, this is the blood of my new covenant. Blood that washes you from sin. Take and drink this when you remember the forgiving work that I did on the cross for you. Let's rejoice this morning, church, because we are forgiven. We will not perish but have eternal life. No matter where we've been, no matter how many times we've gotten our own way, Jesus has set us free. We are not condemned today because of this blood. Let's take it together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Sean, if you play that Waymaker chorus, I feel like we need to end the celebration today and rejoice that we are his people living in the light. And then we'll be done. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Outside, inside, at home, let's worship. Let's give him glory. Thank you, Father. Maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing it once more. Praise you, Lord. You are the way maker.
For what is who you are. Praise you, Lord. That is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, Lord. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. God, that is who you are. You are the light in the darkness. You've called us to come out of darkness into light. You've also called us to bring people out of darkness into light. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say to a spiritual seeker? He'd teach him about being born again and come out of light into darkness and embrace the strong Son of God, the sacrifice, the Savior, the Redeemer, the gracious one, the merciful one, the kind one, the gentle one, the faithful one, the forgiver, the reconciler, the comforter, our Jesus. God, I pray that we'd go from this place into a dark world that's condemned already and bring light and bring freedom just like you did. That's what you would do. That's what we want to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Let's go 1 John 2:6. Our verse, say it together with me, would you? This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Let's go do that this week, lifers. If you want prayer, if you're online, tune into the link that will be on the screen. Otherwise, if you're here live, Claudia and Robert, Pastor Jim will be here available to pray with you. If you're a little concerned about distancing and all that, they're conscientious about all that. So you can pray live or online. God bless you. Have a great week, and let's live like Jesus did. We'll see you next week.